Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. As you know, I'm broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. I'm down here working with the Association of Small Business Development Centers in their annual conference, and always good to be with those good folks. We have another really important person on the show with us right now, folks. Stephen Covey is here. Stephen has been with us before, and most of you know who he is. Stephen has impacted the lives of so many millions of people around the world with his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I first read the book back in about 91 or 2, something like that. And, you know, I got to thinking about it, and I wish we could say how many millions. Maybe Stephen will know how many millions of people have been impacted by his work. His new book is called The Eighth Habit, which is all about the voice. And he also has a new workbook out. And so we're going to talk about some of these things. It's good to have him back. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's good to be on your show.
It's good to have you back, as always, and you're always welcome here. And, you know, Stephen, I was thinking, as I was thinking about the impact that you've had, and I started to say, you know, you could fill up a big city with all the people that you've helped. And I thought, wait a minute, that's only a few million. Then I thought, well, you know, then you could, maybe you could start a new country with all the people that's only maybe tens of millions. And I'm thinking, you know, in all the years that you've had the seven habits out and now the eighth habit, you could probably start a new world with the people that you've helped. And that's got to make you feel good.
It's very satisfying work. It's like a mission. It's like a calling.
It's probably pretty humbling, too, because I know the kind of guy you are, and knowing how you are, I would think that it would be pretty humbling, too.
It is humbling, particularly when I have my wife correcting all my faults.
That happens at your household, too, huh?
The best way to have a good marriage is to make your wife happy, not better.
Yeah, I gave up on making doing the better thing. I have a friend who whenever he sends his income tax return in on his 1040 form, he scratches out spouse and writes in above it. He writes above it critic. But you know the thing that you've helped us to do, Stephen, is you've helped us become two things. You've helped us become to be critical in a loving way of other folks and to help them, but also you've helped us to be a safe harbor as well.
Yeah, I think my motto kind of is be a light, not a judge.
Say that again.
Be a light, not a judge. In other words, be a model, not a critic.
Right. What does that look like?
Well, that means that you, instead of talking about how messy the house is, you start cleaning it up.
Yeah, that's one thing that guys don't always get, isn't it? You know, I've had women to say, you know, if you really want to get, you know, close to and make your wife, as you say, happy, not better, you know, you can buy her roses if you want to, but what she probably would really rather you do is just unload the dishwasher.
Yeah, I think the key thing is to understand them within their reference, not within your frame of reference, and then meet that need.
Right. Well, before I get into too much trouble, because my wife actually is listening, Stephen, we might want to move on. but because they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, do we often behave this way, the way we were just talking about our spouses? Do we behave that way with our employees?
Too many people do, and that's a serious mistake because it doesn't create a culture that is uplifting and a culture that empowers people. You become more of a boss rather than a servant leader.
Because don't we need to, you said a minute ago, and I know you had your tongue only somewhat in your cheek when you said we should make our spouses happy, not better. We actually have both of those charges with our employees, don't we? We should try to make them happy in their work and hopefully happy in their life. But we also are charged with making them better, aren't we?
Absolutely, because your purpose is to help them find voice. That which they love doing that they do well. And to get away from this dictatorial, authoritarian approach of trying to control them. You have to unleash their talent and their passion. And then you become a servant leader. So it changes the whole nature of it as we move away from this industrial age model of control into the new knowledge economy, which is going to dominate the future of the world.
Yep. It's changing everything. And folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about this voice thing, which is basically, which is this, the eighth habit, by the way, folks, with Stephen's new book, The Eighth Habit of Highly Effective People, and which also is out in paperback. And he's got a workbook out. And we're going to talk a little bit about that workbook and how it works and how you and I can use it to our advantage. And we're going to do that right after these messages. 20 till, Stephen Covey is our guest. Stay with us.
Let the sun catch you crying.
Jerry and the Pacemakers, ladies and gentlemen. Great song.
The night's the time.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our friend Stephen Covey. He's your friend too, folks. If you've read his books, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read his books, well, then there's a friend waiting to become one. All you have to do is find whatever Stephen has done, and you'll see what I mean about making that new friend. Stephen, as I mentioned the last couple of times you've been on the show, you became a friend of mine back in about 1991 or two when another friend of mine introduced me to your work. And even though we've only met in the last year or so, so to speak, I felt like that we've been friends a long time. And on behalf of all the people out there who read your books and who have been impacted by your work and who will never get a chance to tell you, on behalf of all those folks, Stephen, I want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate that, and it keeps me at my work. My life motto is live life in crescendo.
I like that. Stephen, we were talking about, I know that you've got a workbook out. Now, if you were somebody out there, we got some folks out there who maybe haven't bought your book, haven't read anything that you've read, they haven't gone to any, by the way, give us your website in a second. I want you to do that in a second, but talk to us about where would you start? You've got the seven habits book, you've got the eighth habit out, you've got the workbook out. Where would you start?
Well, the eighth habit is a good place because it gives a larger context. It deals with the overall organization and the team rather than just personal and interpersonal. And
right.
Then when you get into the 10 habits, you get into the relationship you have with others and also with yourself. So it creates a strategic framework. So I would think I would begin with the eighth habit because it's a larger context and then go down into the seven.
Right, and that gets you that probably would be better for, especially for entrepreneurs. Give us the website too, by the way.
Pardon?
Give us the website.
It's StephenCovey.com.
PH, folks. Stephen with a PH.
Yeah.
Covey.com.
Yeah,
COVEY. StephenCovey.com. Let's talk about the. How are you incorporating using the voice, the eighth habit, into the workbook?
The idea is that once you find what a person is good at and what they love doing, you don't have to supervise them. They're already motivated. And the key is to help everyone inspire them to find their voice. And that's the way you find your voice. And then you become their servant leader rather than their boss. And it changes the whole cost structure of your organization. It's particularly good for entrepreneurs. To set up what I call a complementary team, meaning you build on your own strengths and you make your weaknesses irrelevant to the strengths of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a very, very powerful synergistic culture where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
This is
the way of the future because all business is going in this direction because of the globalization and the world-class standards and standards of excellence that are spreading throughout the entire world.
Well, the other thing that's happening, Stephen, that I know you're aware of, is the younger generations coming on board are, you know, they don't even, when you speak to them in a 20th century managerial voice, the dominator voice rather than the servant leader type of voice, the partnering voice, when you speak to them in the 20th century voice, they don't even understand what you're talking about. They don't respond to that.
They want to speak, have you speak their language, and to really listen to them. We have two ears and one mouth and should use them accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about the workbook.
Well, the workbook is a very practical way of doing exercises, practical things you can do on a day-by-day basis to develop this capacity for greatness, which really is character and contribution. And it's like a step-by-step process that is so simple and so easy to go through, and it makes the more difficult challenge easy.
Is this something, Stephen, that a team could use?
Absolutely, because they could work through it together. And by doing so, it would help them develop this complementary team where strengths are made productive and weaknesses made irrelevant.
So,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, if we have a five or six, somebody out there with a five or six employee team that they were working on, would they buy one workbook and work through it together, or does everybody need their own workbook?
No, they could have one workbook and just use it as a way of doing their training, and they could go slowly through the main book, through that workbook, and I'll tell you, by the time they finish, it would transform their entire culture.
Well, and folks, as you know, you can find those at anywhere books are sold, but also at StephenCovey.com. Stephen, we've got about I know you have to go in the next minute. You won't be able to stay to the end of the hour. I've got about 30 seconds. What would be a last thought that you'd like to give to entrepreneurs out there, please?
I would say form a complementary team of people where their other strengths can be used. And don't try to clone people in your own image. The biggest mistake entrepreneurs make is cloning. And so their very strength becomes their undoing, and their weaknesses become so evident to everybody.
And it's like when you're raising cattle, hybrid vigor is better than all of them, the animals being purebred. Hey, thank you very much, Stephen, for being here. Good job today. I hope you'll come back again real soon.
I would love to do so. Thank you. You're a pleasant host.
I appreciate it. Stephen Covey, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, and I will be too, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and it's just you and me. Just you and me. And, you know, folks, Stephen Covey was just on this, as you know, and what a great guy. It's just so nice to meet someone like him who's such an important person. I was just telling my board op producer, Dave, about him, a little bit more about him. I mean, this guy has sold thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands, maybe, probably, I shouldn't say probably, millions. I'm sure he sold maybe tens of millions. I don't know how many millions of books I had to actually work up to that number. I had to think about it for a minute. There's no telling how many books he sold in so many different languages. And as you saw, he was just a regular guy. And off the air, he's just like that too. And, you know, one of the things he talks about in The Eighth Habit, The Eighth Habit is finding your voice and helping others to find their voice. And I really want to encourage you to think about that and to think about his concept of being a servant leader. Now, the way I have said that in the past is what I call Blasingame's first principle of small business management. Well, I know actually it's the law of aggregation, I should say. Blasting Game's first law of aggregation, and that is to find your success in the aggregation of other people's success, of the people around you. In other words, as you when you look at your business, when you look at where you want to go professionally in your small business, don't think, okay, you know, what can I accomplish today? What can I accomplish this year? What will I accomplish over the next 20 or 30 years as I think about my career, as I think about where I want to go, as I grow my business, as I find new customers and make more money and become more financially secure? Don't think about that as I, me, my. Think about it as what can I do to help others be successful who work with me? These people who have decided to cast their lot with me, they've decided to hitch their wagon to my star, so to speak. These employees that we all have to have, that we all depend on so much. What can we do to help them be successful in their assignments? If they're wildly successful in their assignments and they work for us, guess what, folks? All of that rolls up to us. It aggregates for us, for the company that you own. So I really hope that in the future, if you haven't already been doing this, that when you think about your success, you'll think about it as not what you do, what you can do, how much credit you can take for yourself, but how much you can motivate others to be successful. And as Stephen said to us in the previous segment, how to make other people happy in what they're doing. Find a way to get them to do the thing that they love to do, that they enjoy doing, that they're good at doing, that they can be successful doing. Find a way to get your people to that point. He says you don't have to manage them. He's right. I mean, I've seen that before. I've seen employees. Heck, I've been an employee like that, where I loved what I did so much that there have been times when I was an employee, I actually felt like I was more dedicated to my work than to the company than my boss was. And of course that wasn't the case, but it seemed like that sometimes. That's good. That's a good thing. I mean, any servant leader, I said boss, but Stephen would want me to say servant leader. Any servant leader, that should be one of your goals, is to have your employees act like they're more dedicated and committed to the company than you are. And the way you do that is by making sure that they're doing what they want to do. And that's one of the reasons why if you've got people doing things that they seem to not be happy doing, if they're not having a good time, if they're not enjoying what they do, now they don't have to enjoy it, meaning they're laughing and whistling while they work all day long. They just have to value the work that they do. If you've got people who aren't doing that, you're not doing anybody any favors by allowing them to stay in that job. Either find them something that they can do or help them find something else to do, maybe somewhere else. Sometimes you just have to do that. As you know, I'm broadcasting live from Houston, Texas at the Association of Small Business Development Centers annual conference. And I'll be back on the other side of the hour, on the other side of the news, I should say, for the next hour with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.